26th October. Discussion with Ajahn Suchin in the boardroom of the business centre of the Hotel Chanakya in Patna. Participants include Nina, Betty, Sarah, Jill, John, Shakti, Azita, and Christine.
In that sutta, that are good points of contemplation for us.
His wisdom.
Yeah.
Right now, each word that help us to understand reality comes from him. No matter what we are talking about, seeing, hearing, any kind of reality by different ways, all from Buddha's teachings, from his enlightenment. Whenever there is awareness, one knows without his teaching, the moment with awareness cannot arise. And when Panya develops, those moments cannot arise either without his teachings, from the very beginning to the end.
Even from the beginning,
when we only have intellectual understanding,
yeah.
We wouldn't have any understanding about our lobha and dosa and all our klesha if we hadn't had the Buddha.
And so his purity, not for anything at all, just to give, to help, and his compassion. Never let anyone away from his...
Every time we walked around one of the stupas or...
Like the last monk before he died, he attained arahantaship. Suppatta. Yeah.
The last monk?
The one who had the last convert, they say sometimes.
Arian saint, who came to see him before his death.
And he was standing there, and the devas were there, that they wouldn't be in, they were standing and careful that the devas would not be in the way. There was something in the text about the devas.
We know that only the Samasam Buddha has fully understood and can teach the truths. So before becoming the Samasam Buddha as a Bodhisattva, can we even refer to the development of Satipatthana? Can one say as a Bodhisattva there was any development, we know there's development of paramis, but any development of Satipatthana before the truths are realized?
Yeah, when Buddha was Bodhisattva, many people became enlightened by the Buddha at that time.
Right. But I mean, for the Bodhisattva himself, can one say there was any development of Satipatthana as a Bodhisattva?
Yeah, he was Chodipala Manop at the time of Kassapa Sammasambuddho. He was ordained and he was so very well versed and developed Satipatthana as well.
Right, okay. Obviously, he developed Satipatthana, so there must be some understanding of the truths to develop it,
I think that it cannot be any stage of Vipassana Yana.
Yeah, no, right, okay.
But in commentary, it says that he has reached the Anuloma Yana. So we have to consider what does it mean, Anulomayana, because it can be by Jintamaya Yana, that it's quite ready to become enlightened, but not the Vipassana Yana itself. Otherwise, it's impossible to have
it. Yeah, because I was just going to ask that. How could he have Satipatthana during the time when, let's say, Satipatthana is the Buddha's already gone?
Satipatthana is just the development of understanding the path.
Yeah, but how could he have it during a time, let's say during a lifetime, when the previous Buddha's teaching has already gone, disappeared?
Because he heard the previous Buddha, Buddha Kassapa, so he heard the teachings.
In another lifetime, but not
in previous
lifetime. Not in subsequent lifetimes.
but one could say still the accumulated understanding.
Oh, I see. So even when the teachings from the previous Buddha had disappeared, he would have still had accumulations through lifetimes where the teachings, you know, where the teachers no longer exist.
About realities.
Yeah.
Anuloma Nyama, he had.
Yeah.
The reason
what is that actually, Anuloma Nyama?
Anuloma Jnana is the jnana which anuloma to the Noble Truths.
Adapt to. Mm. Yeah. He could do that.
And the reason I asked that my question is because you've been saying about how, you know, development of parami has to be with Satipatthana. So I'm wondering for the Bodhisattva also whether one can say development of parami has to be with Satipatthana.
Do you think that Sariputta has to develop Satipatthana at all?
Must have, but not to.
And what about the others?
Well, in must order? Have, but like you say, I think not to stage of insights, because otherwise
he would be the follower.
That would be the follower. Yeah. That's my understanding.
But if you come across the lines about the Anuloma Jnana, sometimes it says Vipassana Jnana.
Mm.
So we have to consider that if it's Vipassana Jnana, no one can stop the attainment of enlightenment after Anuloma Jnana, because Anuloma Jnana is in the process of enlightenment.
Mm.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it cannot be that level at all.
Mm.
It has to be Anuloma towards the Four Noble Truths, but not the Vipassana Jnana.
What is Anuloma Jnana again?
The Panya before the Lokuttara Citta, in the same process.
Adaptation.
Right.
Adaptation.
So are you saying that maybe two different meanings of Anuloma?
When one reads the Pitaka, I think that it needs a very careful consideration. Otherwise, if we just follow the word, then we cannot understand anything at all. Why can't it stop right there?
Right, impossible.
Impossible, because it's the process of enlightenment.
This relates to a question we asked earlier. Christine raised, in fact. How come if all this awareness or understanding had been developed and the perfections were being developed, that it didn't result in enlightenment?
So you mean that awareness is not parami? You separate parami and awareness? Or is awareness parami too? Because when we talk about patience is parami, and virya is parami, and satya is parami, it seems like one has to take time, separate time, develop it. But actually, is this moment not virya parami? Is this moment not kanti parami? And when we pass the children on the street, is that not the moment of developing metta parami? See, so it's very everyday life. It doesn't mean that we have to do something extra to make it become parami for enlightenment. But by understanding that without the accumulation of kusala, how can it will wash away the dust out of the mind, which is so dirty, see? So I think that by understanding moment to moment, then one knows that it doesn't need any extra moment to do or to develop parami. But it's very moment when you see someone. Can they be friendly, metta, or karuna, or whatever? Yeah. If at that moment there are conditions for the arising of some paramis, one knows that this is developed as parami. Otherwise, how can we be friendly instantly when we saw people or children on the street? It has to be one's nature, little by little, to be ready to become nature of Sotapanna.
Call me poverty.
Mm-hmm. Must be.
Excuse me, Tanaja. I was thinking over what we were talking about the other day, where famous and highly respected monks, that it's still possible for them to have wrong views. But this makes me wonder, often on DSG, on Sarah and John's list, people show a lot of aversion to the commentaries and to Buddhaghosa, and I wonder if it's possible for modern day bhikkhus, famous, well-respected monks, if it's possible for well-respected and famous modern day bhikkhus and groups of bhikkhus nowadays to perhaps have wrong view, how can we be certain that the bhikkhus and groups of bhikkhus who wrote the commentaries didn't have wrong view?
Yeah, I think that what is our purpose? To understand what? To understand what is written in the book by Buddhaghosa, by whom, or the development of understanding reality right now. So whoever helps one to understand reality right now, we don't have to call it Buddhaghosa or anyone at all. So when one is reading about realities, the purpose is to understand realities, not the situation. Many people, like yesterday, someone asked about what should she do, and she said about her own situation. And she doesn't realize that at that moment, she was studying her situation, not the reality. See? But when we study reality, we don't mind any situation at all. Because the more we understand realities, the more we understand any situation. Because there must be citta and cittasika and rupa. So instead of thinking about situation, we should understand citta. And we know that when it's right, it's the Buddha's teachings. So we don't mind at all who is speaking, whether he is the monk, high respected, or who. Whenever there is understanding about reality right now, for example, visible object. See?
Yeah, like on the bus. I mean, it seems like it's constant dosa on the bus in India, at least in this part of India. You're sitting there, and you're the constant dirt and the noise, which hearing object and all this kind of, and visible object is just, for me, total dosa, you know, all at one time, you know, continuous.
But what is the object right then, see? It's not the understanding of visible object at all.
Right, it's not. Uh-huh. Because dosa is there. So
that's why Buddha stressed a lot about visible object and seeing. We shouldn't ignore this reality at all.
But how can I have...
How can I have less dosa?
We always say that anyway. But how can there be understanding arising if dosa is arising in the, you know...
Dosa is not seeing. And dosa is not visible object.
Right.
Dosa is that reality. Just that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is conditioned, and it cannot stay. So the more we study reality, the more we can ignore the word, the name, people and things. And this is the only way to get closer and closer to reality itself. Otherwise, we keep on saying reality, while reality is now appearing through different doorways.
Kunsuchin, you made one comment the other day. You said that the attention to shape and form, which is what Betty is referring to, hinders the arising of other realities like seeing and hearing. Do you mean
it hinders the attention to other realities?
Hinders the understanding of. All right, I thought you meant it meant that hinders seeing. Hinders the understanding of realities.
Speak
right,
very shortly.
No, that's okay.
It is anything.
I just wanted to clarify. Hinders the understanding of realities.
Because no matter the word is, when you have the understanding, you can get it. That is when one is reading Tipitaka, we don't mind the grammar and the object and the subject and the preposition as long as there can be the understanding. But if there is not the understanding, we have to look for these things to help us to understand better.
I think the point that Christine is raising is that for example, often learned monks say, oh, well, this part of the commentaries is right, but these parts, you know, they've got it wrong, and I have another interpretation which is more suitable because they missed some of the important facts or whatever. So if we say, okay, never mind about name or label or whether we call it commentaries or not, just understand reality, well, then this may encourage people even all the more to think that their own interpretations are better than the commentary ones.
You mean no careful study? Just consider one's own knowledge?
Well, they would say considering their own experience and their own knowledge and also keeping in mind what we know from guide.
And what's the measurement? What's right and what's wrong?
The measurement is what makes most sense to the person at that particular time. So it may be different later, but
what about realities? Can that be measurement? Because it's now at this moment.
Right.
Whatever agrees with reality right now,
right,
it cannot be wrong.
The difficulty, I think, that Christine would say, I'm just picking up her thread a little bit, is that people have different understanding of reality's experience. Right?
Not common to everyone? Special for this or for that? Or what? Or seeing sees, no matter who. We don't mind the shape and form of bird or snake or fish or human being, because seeing is not a shape. It's that element which can arise and see. That's all. And when people talk about rupa element, it's not difficult as the nama element. But if we little by little consider the mental element, by way of element, nobody can condition or make it arise at all. And nobody can stop its arising either. Because when there is hardness, it's not a matter of who make it, how can it come, but it's there, it's real. There must be conditions for its arising. As the rupa element is like this, nama is exactly the same. It's there. It's now. It has arisen by conditions. So we can understand better and better about anatta-ness, because as rupa is not self, it cannot belong to anyone. The mental element is the same, exactly the same.
It's interesting that, isn't it? Because it seems as though, I mean, the rupa we think of as out there, or, you know, at the very least it's, you know, here, but the rupa here we tend to place here.
That's why no matter out there or here, it's rupa.
Same.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And for the definition of rupa, no matter here or there, inside or outside, rupa is rupa.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Reality experience is just the same.
It shows less of avicca, that's all. The more we know about realities, one realizes that lots of avicca.
Mm-hmm.
when one reads, one might think that one knows a lot, but actually lots of anicca. As long as it's only reading, not the understanding reality, which is now appearing.